darf es etwas mehr Blick sein. Für dich und alle Freunde. Und eine eigene Strandvilla.
Jetzt im Euro-Jackpot. Rund 40 Millionen Euro. Das Leben könnte so Jackpot sein. Mit Euro-Jackpot. In jeder Lotto-Annahmestelle und auf lottobayern.de. Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bzga.de.
Darf es etwas mehr Blick sein? Für dich und alle Freunde. Und eine eigene Strandvilla.
Jetzt im Euro-Jackpot. Rund 40 Millionen Euro. Das Leben könnte so Jackpot sein. Mit Euro-Jackpot. In jeder Lotto-Annahmestelle und auf lottobayern.de. Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bzga.de.
I told my friends I was going to Berlin on a mission trip. That sounded a lot better than my dad became obsessed with this crazy preacher and is moving us halfway around the world to join some kind of cult. I did my best to talk about nightclubs and castles and apple streusels, but the truth is that I was terrified. Most people in my tiny Kentucky hometown had never been outside the state, much less the country, and I was no exception. At least I had my twin brother Lee for company, but he didn't understand what was going on any better than I did. The two of us had just gotten home from school when Lee heard voices coming from Daddy's study, which was already strange since Dad never did business at home. I mean, I don't even really know what he does for a living. But when Lee gave me that look, I knew right away I needed to keep quiet. I closed the screen door gently, trying to keep the rusty hinges from shrieking, and we crept down the hallway until we were within earshot of a bizarre conversation. A baritone voice with a thick southern accent was lecturing our father. "Your sins are not weakness," the voice drawled. "Your sins are why you've been chosen." "But you're sure you can fix it?" my dad, Andy Haldeman, whispered. "You can fix me." "All those who prove themselves worthy are healed. Are you ready to prove yourself worthy, Andy?" The next morning, Dad told us that we were going to Berlin. It didn't make any sense. Dad's whole life was here. He'd done everything he could to make us feel like we were good kids from a good family growing up in a good town. And now he was just going to throw it all away for the Hand of God Evangelical Mission, read the intro on the screen. Dad had pulled up a video on the living room TV. A big, middle-aged man with a blonde flat-top haircut and a white suit stood in front of a windowless brick room surrounded by a noisy crowd. "That's Reverend Bledsoe," Dad told us. He sounded almost proud. "He operates a mission in Berlin, feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, counseling the lost, and healing the sick." A faith healer, I thought. Great, another fraud, just like the rest of them. I'd seen videos like this in church before. They were always the same. The shaky camera, the gibbering and wailing and speaking in tongues. They always looked fake to me, and I couldn't see what made this one any different. Lee and I looked at each other, and I knew we were both thinking the same thing. What does Dad need fixed about himself? Why this guy? Why Berlin? And why now? "Look, Dad sighed. "I know I've been away a lot with work. You know, it's like I blinked and you two were teenagers." He tried to laugh. "But this is going to be a fresh start for us as a family, a chance to find God and find each other." Andy Haldeman wasn't a man who let himself look vulnerable often, but he sure did then. "Come on, bring it in." Dad's arms, bare strong and about as hairy, pulled us in for a hug. Ever since Mom died, it's just been the three of us, but Dad's never let us down. Dil Ayad read the license of the cabbie who picked us up from Berlin's Brandenburg Airport that chilly, early March morning. He asked if I was all right. "If not, kick the back of my seat twice, okay?" There was concern in his dark eyes, and I realized how I must have looked. a skinny white girl in Walmart clothes, shivering, lost with no language skills, traveling with two silent men. "I'm fine," I lied. "Just tired." Truth be told, Dill looked even more tired than I was. When Dad told him our destination, his worry only deepened. Once we got to the neighborhood, I could see why. I'd never seen so much graffiti or so many boarded up windows. The air smelled like pee and cigarettes. Three ghost pal guys with shaved heads and black hoodies watched us hungrily as we unloaded our luggage. One of them definitely had a weapon in his pocket, but Dad didn't even seem to notice. His eyes were fixed on a sign at the end of the alley. The Hand of God, Evangelical Mission. I felt something being pressed into my hand. Dill, the driver, was giving me his card. "In case you need a ride home sometime." I knew he was trying to tell me something with that long look he gave me before he left, but I had no idea what it could be. I slipped the card into my jeans before Dad could see. The taxi's red lights disappeared into the traffic, and a big man stepped out of the shadows of the mission to greet us. I recognized Reverend Bledsoe right away, but I was surprised that he knew me. "Welcome, Amber." My hand was swallowed up by his in that two-handed handshake that all preachers seem to use, and suddenly his electric blue eyes were much, much too close to mine. I felt like the frog we dissected sophomore year, like my skin was peeled open, like he could see everything inside of me. "I'm so glad you could join us." Lee got a handshake as well, and then the Reverend was standing in front of Dad. "Brother Andy, at last, please come inside. We have so much to discuss." I don't know what they talked about for 2 hours, but when Dad left the Reverend's study, we had the keys to a crummy 1970s apartment in the neighborhood and instructions to meet at the mission at midnight for a special service. A healing. Well, maybe healing isn't the right word. If it hadn't been for what I saw afterward, I might have thought so. I might even have found God again, or at least thought that I had. Instead, I found something much darker and harder to explain. It was an eerie feeling standing in the room from the video I'd seen back in Kentucky, what felt like a lifetime ago. I tried to pay attention during Reverend Bledsoe's sermon, mostly just to figure out what level of crazy we were dealing with. But I kept drifting off. The jet lag was hitting me hard. Lee had to nudge me awake with his elbow. Finally, a woman came up to the Reverend's side in the spotlight. When he saw her, my breath caught in my throat. Her skin was melted, like candle wax. How could she see, or smell, or even eat from the left side of her face was beyond me. "You will know Sister Naima." Nods of agreement. "When she was just a girl, her father attacked her with acid because he believed, wrongly, that a boy in her class had taken a virtue. Tonight, that wrong will be made right." The crowd around me started moaning and swaying. I didn't believe any of this, but the tension in the room was so strong, I had to grab the sides of my chair to keep from swaying with them. Dad had his hands in the air. "Are you ready, Sister Naima? Are you ready to open your eyes?" Naima nodded. Reverend Bledsoe placed a hand on her awful scars. "Then, be healed." It wasn't a trick. It couldn't be. The Reverend reshaped Naima's mutilated skin slowly, like a sculptor forming clay. When he brought his hand away, all that remained were faint scars and the face of the beautiful young woman who Naima was always destined to be. Just like in the video, the crowd went crazy. But I noticed something different up close. Reverend Bledsoe was holding something in his left hand. His fist was curled around it gently, but firmly, like when Lee and I were kids catching frogs and lizards by the creek. With his right hand, the Reverend shoved open the door to his quarters and left behind the hysterical crowd. We were already outside the mission when I realized my phone had fallen out of my pocket in the chaos. I begged Dad and Lee to wait, then crept back inside. I just stepped into the windowless meeting hall when I heard a cough. I wasn't alone. I don't know what made me slip behind the curtain. Maybe it was the creepiness of all those rows of empty folding chairs or the strangeness of what I'd just seen, but I pressed my back against the wall and waited. Through a gap in the velvet, I saw one of the pale, shaved-headed boys from earlier. He twitched like he could see shadows moving in the corners of the room. Either that, or he was on a lot of drugs. Reverend Bledsoe slipped back into the room, gently closing the heavy wooden door he'd opened with a single thrust of his palm. The boy started whispering in German. I had no idea what he was saying, but even if I'd been a native speaker, I doubt his rambling would have made any sense. I'd cram studied ever since I learned we were coming to Berlin, and that was the only reason I could understand the Reverend's words. They cut through the boy's babble, clear as a bell. You promised me, and you failed. Reverend Bledsoe brought his left hand to the side of the pale boy's face. Just for a flash, that hand looked different from the one that I'd shaken earlier that morning. It looked grey, diseased, its fingernails blackened, and then the room filled with the smell of dissolving flesh. The pale boy shrieked, clawing at the smoke from his melting skin. When he finally collapsed on the floor, it was like a mirror image of Naima's injuries had been seared into him. I squeezed my mouth shut to hold back my own scream. Reverend Bledsoe looked at the teenager on the floor and sighed. He stepped over him and strode back into the depths of the mission. The boy groaned on the floor. I didn't dare to move. Something buzzed and shook. My phone, right on the chair where I'd left it. With one glance at the pale boy, I snatched it and ran for my family. As I did, though, I noticed the door to the inner mission was open, just a crack. Had the Reverend seen me? Did he know that I knew? I didn't say anything, but Lee could tell something was wrong. It's like that with twins. Still, that didn't keep him from laying on the top bunk, reading about Berlin nightlife, while I tried to invent a dinner from the random German cans we'd picked up from the supermarket on the walk home. Honestly, I was glad for the distraction. Dad still had that dreamy, faraway look in his eyes. That's what the power of belief can do, he commented over dinner. Coming here was the right choice, you'll see. Later, I lay staring up at Lee's bunk with my eyes wide open, trying to believe my father. My twin brother snored, knocked out by the time change. If only I'd been asleep too. Instead, the door creaked open. I leaned over and looked into the open mouth of the dark hallway. No one seemed to be there. And yet, I suddenly felt very defenseless. I was only wearing a t-shirt and underwear, and there was nothing on the bedside table to use as a weapon. Instinct made me bend over and check under the bed. Nothing. Then why did I hear movement? I looked up just in time to see a shoe disappearing around the corner of the door. The top corner of the door. A person, or something that looked like a person, had been crawling on the ceiling, watching me. My scream woke up Lee, Dad, and probably half the building. After searching the apartment, Dad tried to convince me I'd had a bad dream, but he couldn't explain away the dirty footprints on my ceiling. When the rest of the family went back to bed, I checked for Dill's card where I'd left it on the nightstand, but it was gone. In its place was a plain white card. Hebrew 3:12, it read. My hand shook when I took out the Bible in the nightstand drawer and read the verse by the light of my phone. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Her dad's new hero, this reverend, sent something after me, a warning to keep my mouth shut. Tomorrow is my first day as a volunteer. Dad, Lee and I will be unloading vans of donated food, assembling meals, cleaning the shelter and handing out pamphlets in the roughest neighborhood I'd ever seen. That's the mission's goal, or so we've been told. But here in Berlin, the truth seems hidden beneath the surface or crawling along the ceiling. I don't know what might happen if I tell the truth about what I saw. I don't know what the hand of God promised my father to make him drag us here, or what part we're expected to play in all this. All I can do is lay here, staring at the shadows above the half-open door. I swear there's something up there, a mutilated, black-eyed face that grins down at me and waits for me to fall asleep.
Wünschst du dir jemanden, der dich versteht wie kein anderer? Jemand, der deine Wünsche wahr werden lässt und mit dir das schönste Abenteuer deines Lebens erleben möchte? Die Commerce-Plattform Shopify revolutioniert Millionen von Unternehmen weltweit. Mit Shopify richtest du im Nu deinen Online-Shop ein, ganz ohne Programmier- oder Designkenntnisse. Dank der effizienten Einrichtung und intuitiven Social-Media- und Online-Marketplace-Integration kannst du über Instagram, eBay und Co. werben und verkaufen. Neue Zielgruppen zu erreichen war noch nie so einfach. Shopify bietet auf einer einzigen, sicheren Plattform alle Tools, um dein Online-Business aufzubauen. Kostenlos testen und dein Business der Welt präsentieren. shopify.de/try besuchen. Einfach shopify.de/try eingeben und loslegen. Made for Germany. Powered by Shopify.
Darf es etwas mehr Blick sein? Für dich und alle Freunde. Und eine eigene Strandvilla.
Jetzt im Eurojackpot. Rund 40 Millionen Euro. Das Leben könnte so Jackpot sein. Mit Eurojackpot. In jeder Lottoannahmestelle und auf lottobayern.de. Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bzga.de.